Welcome to the Connected Conversation with Brett Hill, a well-known mindfulness and somatic coach and coach trainer, as he demonstrates the power of mindful communication to change your life, work, and the world. Disconnected is the new normal. People are feeling overdriven, overwhelmed, and disconnected from meaningful conversations. But it doesn't have to be that way. Step into a life that works for you. Flourish and give voice to your natural creativity and purpose as you learn how to connect deeply and authentically with yourself, others, and the world. The Connected Conversation with Brett Hill starts now.
Hello and welcome to the Connected Conversation podcast. I'm Brett Hill, your host. I'm a mindful somatic coach and coach trainer, and I'm so passionate about the impact that mindful communication can have on us all, have on the quality of your life, have on the quality of your relationships, of your work, of the people that you talk to. It can really, truly up-level your entire life across so many aspects of our engagements in the world. That's why I say it's like the skills and the practices that it takes to learn how to communicate mindfully. Sort of like the byline that I use is like learn how to have ordinary conversations become extraordinary experiences. And in this particular episode, we're going to talk about something that is really, really pervasive. And that's basically the sense that people these days, they often feel pretty disconnected. People feel, you know, kind of removed from a life of meaning and meaningful work and deeper kind of more lush interactions with people and kind of the juice of life and the stuff that makes it all worthwhile. And there's a sense of kind of despairing and almost in the general populace or among many people, quiet quitting and the great resignation and, loneliness and people reporting disconnection off the charts. And like, what's up with all of that? And what can we do, or can we do anything? And I want to talk about this in particular because it's really important to me, as there are specific things that you can do to help to kind of swim upstream. So what do I mean by that? This is kind of a bitter pill to swallow sometimes when I say that the culture that we live in, the society that we live in, is actually working against our capacity to connect to deeper meaning in our world. And if you just took a step back for a moment and look at all of the ways that we all the messages that we get 1,000 times a day about what should be lighting you up. You know, what are the kinds of things that, if you looked at the world of social media and advertising and commercials, what are the things that are being presented to us in mass that are intended to get our attention and to motivate? And if you think about it, it's not a lot of, hey, let's connect deeply and find meaningful connection with each other, as much as it is, what can we do? How hard can you work to become excellent at something? How much effort are you willing to put in to achieve success, to be beautiful, to stand out in the crowd, to win a prize, to have your moment of glory, so to speak? The problem is everything on the sensory level is dialed into the extreme zone. If you look at, you know, what gets on television or the headlines, everything is designed to simply jangle your nerves in a way that kind of grab your attention. It's like, you know, it's a relentless I'm going to use the word assault on your senses, because that is actually what's going on. We're seeing so much of this happening, and there's an impact to that. And so actually, you know, just to kind of make a point here, I'm just going to go to on my computer here, I'm just going to browse to something like, let's say the Seattle Times, because I live in the Seattle area, and I'm going to just look at some headlines and kind of tell you what I'm talking about here, for example. Okay, train derails, spills thousands of gallons. Ah, yikes. Okay, here's another headline. Your work week is extinct. That's a powerful statement. Wow. You know, it's kind of like dramatic drone photos show where the land gave way under California homes. It's like there's so much kind of intensity around of all of this. Robbie Ray is throwing gas again. Well, now, if you think about the notion of throwing gas, that's a pretty big kind of deal if someone actually throws gas. But if you looked into it, what does it actually mean? He's probably saying something. And so it's sort of like fairly intense stuff. And it's just endless, endless numbers of these that are intended to grab your attention as much as possible. And so there's these notions of like hooks, right? It's kind of like they want to hook your attention by jangling your nervous system. Now, I'm not down on media. I'm not here to say, oh, you've got to turn off all your media and your phone and all of that. I am trying to point out that there's an impact on it. So then you look at the television shows, it's like extreme sports. It's like Survivor, you know, hey, that can even be fun, but it's sort of like, we're going to compete and only the most, engaged, and the person who wants it the most can survive. And that message is just everywhere. Now, how much of that is about let's have connected, meaningful lives? Let's find out what's really true for you in terms of who you are and what lights you up. Not a lot. And so consequently, tens of thousands of messages like that coming at us every day for years and years and years has a dramatic impact on the way that we relate to each other and what we expect. It actually becomes normal to live in a world where we don't connect that much. And in the technology we have, where we can text each other, where we can send email to each other, where we can post on social platforms without actually face-to-face or, you know, virtually or otherwise knowing kind of who's there or what's going on in a more somatic way, in a more present way. This discontiguous in technology, they call it asynchronous communication, where because I can send you a message at 1 and you can get it at 1:30 and you can reply at 1:45, as opposed to, hey, how's it going? I'm pretty good, you know, back and forth in real time. Synchronous communications. There's when that becomes the norm, the question is, what's the impact? And after a very long time, this impact becomes, you know, people start to report as they are, I don't feel like life is that juicy. It's like I'm missing the connection to meaning. And so what can you do about that? And also, I should say, there's a really good book out that is about this as well. And so it's for some reason, it just tripped away from my thoughts, but it's a book on the new normal, of disconnected from meaning in the new normal. It's really it's the notion of what we have become is a culture where disconnection is considered normal. And it has a really dramatic impact on who we are and how we engage. There's a neurological effect. There's a biological, chemical effect on us whenever we do that. And so consequently, what do we do? how do we re-engage? The book was called The Myth of Normal. That's the one, The Myth of Normal. And the notion is, of course, it's about what we consider to be normal isn't. It's not normal for human beings to live this way. And if you think about that, it's like, well, what do you mean? What's that about? Well, technology and our modern world, if you will, has developed so much change, introduced so much change into our lives that we don't have the capacity to adapt that fast. And so there's been so much disruption in the way that we communicate and the way that we connect, for everything from COVID to, you know, modern technology in terms of platforms, the way we talk to each other. All of that has its really super positive aspects. But there's another question is, what is the impact on us as human beings? And do we need to make adaptations because of that impact? And no one's really asking those questions. But yet it's normal. This is what's considered the normal way we live. It took millions and millions of years for us all to develop kind of the nervous system that we have. You know, we grew up, our ancestors, millions of years developing the nervous system we have to live in a specific context. And that context is connected to your senses because that's what keeps you alive. That's what keeps you from, you know, rushing into a scenario where there's objective danger from other animals or the climate or, you know, context, or in some cases other, you know, other people in terms of tribes or, you know, conflicts among people where you can be in danger. And so it's like very connected, and it mattered, because if you weren't connected in that way, then you didn't last long. And you were a threat, if you were, to not only yourself, but to the people that you were close to. And so consequently, where we are today is a very, very different place, in the sense that what's actually happening is, if you were connected to your senses, you're not actually going to be a very good worker in some ways, because what some workers are, many contexts, many environments, many corporations and cultures are asking people to do things that aren't really very good for them. You know, work really exceptionally long hours, or work in hostile environments, or, you know, be in relationships with people who are kind of mean to you for a very long time. And those things are very hard on us. And if you're really connected to your senses, you're going to say something like, you know what? This isn't working for me. And I need a situation where it is actually working for me. So it helps in certain ways, the organization, for people to kind of like not be so aligned with what's actually good for them, because what they want to achieve in terms of being productive might require overdriving people in a way that isn't actually healthy. And so we have quiet quitting. We have all kinds of things going on. And there's a lot more to say about that when we come back from this break. Thank you.
Tune in to Maximum Resilience with me, Kelly Bazzani, your ally for addiction, the first Monday of each month at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join us and engage in this epic journey of how to own your power and change your perception of addiction while we revolutionize the approach that ensures mental health as we address a worldwide epidemic. Take the steps that lead you towards an incredible life of maximum resilience. We do recover. Visit MyResilienceCoach.com.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martine and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit martineemmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martine.
Are you ready to branch out, to take a leap of faith, to love yourself and others fully? Hi, I'm Erica Gifford Mills, founder of Balance Symmetry and host of Get Rooted Radio. If you answered yes to even one of the above, then this 12-week course is for you. The Rooted Life Group Coaching Series will give you the tools, techniques, and strength to be intentional in your pursuit of what sets your soul on fire. Find out more about this program on my website, GetRootedRadio.com.
You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day.
I am Chris Atkins, and I help women boss up, get fit, and become unstoppable. And I do this by helping them create healthy habits that support nutrition and exercise and mindset work and stress management and self-care. You get the idea. If that sounds something like you're interested in, you can find me everywhere. Just Google, you know, Chris Atkins 365 Daily Hustle. It's a global health coaching company, so I'm coaching women all over the world.
Hey, welcome back to the Connected Conversation. My name is Brett Hill, and we are talking about the nature of being disconnected in our culture, the way that we wind up living in a world where we just don't feel like, you know, things are happening in a way that's satisfying and nourishing. And that's kind of a big word in my world, nourishing. And so, you know, in the previous segment, we were talking about how this comes to be in the, you know, the way we engage in the world and the number of messages that come our way that encourage us, that kind of keep jangling our nerves, and the number of messages we get that are trying to capture our attention, as well as the fact that we work in contexts that aren't necessarily good for us, that, you know, where people kind of want to overdrive you. Burnout is a thing. It's a really important thing right now at epidemic proportions. Now, how does that happen? How is it that people get into scenarios where they overdrive so hard that they actually crash and burn, they burn out? What's going on there? It's like, of course, they're tired, but they get up and they work, and they get tired and they get up and they work, and they're overstressed. There's an impact from that matters. What happens to your relationships? What happens to your organizations that you're part of? What happens to the businesses that you're working in? What kinds of purchases do you make when you're in that state? You know, important things can happen. And they might not be that well informed or that healthy. All those things are likely to suffer. So what do you do? What do you do about it? Well, step one of this is to first acknowledge that this is a real thing. And it matters that you matter, and that your well-being is the number one thing that is. It's like if you're it's like they say in an airplane and the oxygen masks come down, you know, if you don't take care of your own oxygen, you can't help anyone else. Now, a lot of us are the kind of folk who are called to help other people. We like being helpful, but your own well-being, the place that you're coming from, is so crucial to being able to be helpful in a bigger way, in a more powerful way. There's the mechanics of being helpful, which, you know, you have to have, you know, your safety and abode, you know, your health, and as much as you can manage. And I know there's a lot of people who have challenges with that. And so learning to take care of what you need is fundamental. And the first step in that direction is saying, well, you know, I need to do a better job at that. And I want to be more engaged. I want more out of life. I want more day to day. And that really, in a certain way, gets down to this. Day to day breaks down to moment to moment. Day to day breaks down to moment to moment. Your day is nothing but a series of moments, right? And if we really kind of open that up a little bit, if you've ever studied sort of the power of now, or Eckhart Tolle and others, it's really only now. There's always really only now. And so the question always is, what am I connected to now? And that's why this is called the connected conversation. About what am I connected to now? Am I connected to stress? Am I connected to worry, anxiety? Am I connected to, oh my God, that headline? Oh my God, I'm not working hard enough to achieve the thing I want. And those may be legitimate things in your world, but it's also a legitimate thing in our world that there are amazing and good things happening. And you might go, well, where is that? And I would suggest that you simply look at something beautiful. And I'm going to ask you the question, what lights you up? What causes you to just automatically smile inside or outside? What are the things that you enjoy? What are the ways that you feel yourself expand whenever you connect to things? So maybe it's the mountains, maybe it's the trees, maybe it's flowers, maybe it's kids, maybe it's touch, maybe it's art, maybe it's music. There's something that's natural, something that you connect to that's simple. And it happens all the time. In other words, I know for me, when I love dogs. And so when I see dogs, something in me goes, yay, dog. Oh, it's so cute. I light up. Now, neurologically, that's called a limbic state shift, because there's a limbic system in our neurology that has these emotions. And when you notice that, you notice that you're having one of those feelings, it's important to let yourself have it and not just blow by it. Like, there's a story I tell sometimes about, I was on a mountain, driving through the mountains with my mother and my stepfather years ago, and we stepped out of the car to look at this beautiful mountain range. Oh my God, it was so beautiful. And I'm standing there going, whoa, mountain range. And letting it, you know, doing my work, doing my practice, letting myself just be in rapport with this magnificent millions and millions of years of mountain, and the presence that you can feel from that, the beauty, the stillness, this just kind of emanating in a way from the landscape there. And that's what I'm experiencing. I'm going, whoa. And so he takes out his camera, takes a picture, and then walks right back to the car and says, oh, looks just like a postcard. And then goes back in the car and waits on us. And I was just so taken by the difference in our experience. It's like, wow. Now, I'm not trying to make him less than, you know, me or smaller than in any way. It's just more like the contrast stood out to me, like, wow, that's really a big difference. I'm having this big experience. And he's thinking, this scene looks like a postcard. And I actually had the thought at the time that I didn't say it because, you know, I didn't want to risk being irritating to my stepfather. He said, so I had the thought, no, you've got this completely backwards. The postcard is a picture of the mountains. He said the mountains are just like a postcard. He says, no, the postcards are an image of the mountains. It's like, it's completely inverted. And so when you're connected to your thoughts as if they were experiences that represent the actual reality, then you live in this more disconnected space all the time. I remember back in the day, There was a Secretary of Interior, James Watt, during the Reagan administration. Yes, I go back that far. And he's, and this guy's in charge of national parks, right? And all the land, all the federal land. And he said, and I'll never forget it, he said, if you've seen one tree, you've seen them all. Well, that was like, oh my God, this is the person who's in charge of preserving national parks. And his thing, of course, was like, hey, lumber, because, you know, all we need is really a tree, because if you've seen one tree, you've seen them all. So really, we just need a tree around. And as long as that's around, we'll be good. And of course, you know, people were who were kind of like forests were a little appalled. So the point here being that it's really easy to stay connected to your thoughts as if they were representations, or as if they were the real thing. It's almost like if I was to describe the Grand Canyon to somebody, that they took that to be as meaningful as actually visiting the Grand Canyon. So it's really important to learn the difference, as silly as that might sound, between thinking about something and actually experiencing it. And if I ever had some conversations about that, it's like people sometimes truly believe that there's not that much difference. And as long as that's where you're at, you are not going to connect to what's really true and real in the world. Because what's really true and real in the world is bigger than you or me or our thoughts for real. And that's the important part about a mindfulness practice, is that you learn to connect to what's really true. And what's really true is your experience of the moment in a way that isn't connected to your ideas about it. The experience of the moment in the way that's not about your ideas about it. So let's go back to the dog walking. I love that you see the dog walking and go, it's not about my idea of the dog. I'm connecting to my experience, which is this warmth that I'm having. If I connect to the mountains, it's this majesty. If I see the sky, there's this beauty and this, you know, the immensity of it. It's bigger than me. And that's, in a way, what awe is. When you connect to something where you have this feeling of awe, what causes, if you notice, when you have this moment of awe, there's this pause in everything where you just kind of go, whoa. There's a stillness for a moment. That moment is pure gold. That moment is pure connection. And those are the ones that you want to have more of in your life, to create more nourishment, beauty, goodness, and up-level your moment-to-moment experience, particularly when you turn that towards relationships. And that's what we're going to talk about next in the next segment, when we begin to talk about how you can bring this skill that we're talking about developing, of being present with beautiful moments, going to land in those, notice that that's happening, take a breath and let that be so, let that be a part of a bigger part of your world. And what happens whenever you do that with people? That's a really important question. And we're going to talk about that when we come back to the Connected Conversation.
I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I am the creator of the Transformation Network, doing what we do in the world of positive radio, informed, educated, positive media. Independent radio hosts and independent networks have been the face of positive messaging over the past decade. So all of us here have decided we're going to put together an independent network that is going to enable people to bring their positive message of hope, inspiration, and conscious action to the forefront. Help us create a future of amazing, uplifting stories that can be told, so we can tell our children and they can tell their children of what hope and conscious action is all about.
I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
What if you could enter a sacred vortex of love and beauty, infused with the power of the earth and ascended masters?
Join myself, Dr. Georgia Herrera and Dr. Sharon Martin, in the Sacred Magic Show.
Bring in the mystical and sacred for healing, airing every third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You too can have your health and life challenges melt away.
Join now and feel your heart open up to the answers to your most important questions.
We all want confident and happy kids. Nola Peacock, co-host on the Angel Empowerment Show, works with families, coaching parents and kids to find the strategies and techniques that really work, helping your child develop the crucial personal skills that they need to become confident, resilient, and successful young adults. Book a coaching session today at nola-peacock.com. That's Nola, N-O-L-A-peacock.com.
Take us with you on your morning commute. Download your favorite shows and listen anytime. Just visit TransformationTalkRadio.com.
And welcome back to The Connected Conversation. I'm your host, Brett Hill. I'm a mindfulness and somatic coach, and I'm talking about the things that are really, I'm really passionate about in this show. And the main thing is mindful communication and the power of it to help us have lives that are really rich in connecting to meaning, to the intimacy, to authenticity, many of the things that we just long for in our world and our relationships, and to world and to work as well. So within the domain of being mindful and connected to people, to yourself, it starts with you. You have to start with being connected to yourself before you can connect very well to others. And that's kind of the trick here. It's people want to be connected to, you know, other people, obviously, the world, deeper meaning in our work and in our life. Yet they haven't necessarily spent much time with connecting to what's true about us and within us. And so sometimes I ask the question, like, how can you connect with other people if you can't connect to yourself? How can you connect meaningfully to work if you can't connect to yourself? And so what does that mean, to connect to yourself? And so I just like to give some brief examples of how you might go about doing that. In the previous segments, I was talking about connecting to beauty, connecting to awe. And just to pick up on that for a moment, when you notice those moments, and they can be very subtle, like you step outside and you see a flower and you go, oh, that's pretty. When you notice that you have a moment like that, where you notice something that, and you go, oh, beauty, truth, peace, justice, grace, anything in those, love, right, kindness, let yourself first notice that that's happening. That's really important, because in that moment, you've become mindful. At the very moment you notice that you're having an experience, there's another part of your brain that has this noticing capacity. Otherwise, you'll just go, oh, that's pretty, and move on. But if you can learn to connect, to learn to give more capability to, it's just like a skill, this part of your brain that can notice what's going on in you, then you can make a choice. That choice is everything. That choice is the power to be present. Because now you can simply say, I'm going to choose now to be present with this experience of beauty, awe, peace, justice, grace, love, whatever it is that you're connecting to. And let yourself notice what that feels like. It's as simple as that. I can't tell you how powerful this is. I'm doing a training right now, the Mindful Coach Method, at the mindfulcoachmethod.com, where I train coaches to be more mindful and present in their work and to use somatic techniques in their practice. And in that practice in that class, I teach this very thing. And I recently had one of the students go, wow, I had no idea. I thought to be mindful, I had to sit down and do this, you know, these long meditations. And it's like, it's not that. You can do that, and that's useful, but you don't have to. There's these smaller practices. Sometimes I call them micro mindfulness practices that you can do, that just where you just touch little touchstones 10, 20, 30 times a day, rather than sitting down for half an hour every day. And so this is a really, truly powerful mindfulness practice. It's the core of everything that I talk about. So notice when you have those moments. Take a moment, take a breath, and let yourself be present with that experience. And just notice how it feels. A teacher of mine, I used to live on this commune, if you will, and there was a teacher out there, and we were digging in the fields, kind of like working the vegetable garden, and he would say, look up at the mountain range and let your senses be informed by the experience. And I thought that was really a pretty powerful statement. So I use that a lot. It's like, let your senses be informed by the beautiful things, the simple things that are in your life. Now, why am I going on about this? Because that means you're adding these delicious little moments into your experience of your day. Those are connections. You know, we were talking about, like, where's the connections? Where's the juice? That's the juice. That's at least a big part of it. Once you begin to wire that up in your system, make a habit out of it, you'll find that you automatically start to find other parts of it in the world. You'll find other sections, other moments to be lit up about, to connect to. They just start kind of popping out at you because your brain has got the message, this is pretty good stuff. I like this. I want more of this. And so your nervous system begins to seek out these moments. And that is completely the opposite direction of the cultural impact I was talking about earlier, which is, you know, shock, awe, you know, shock and awe in that sense is like, oh my God, this headline, oh my God, that thing is so extreme, this is so crazy, how could they? It's like, that is completely the opposite of connecting to something that's more nourishing. So you begin then, like I said earlier, how do you begin to swim upstream from the culture? This is one really important way. The other way is to just use that same capability, another way, is to use the same capability, just simply connect to what is true in your experience right now. And so I just want to ask you about that. Like, regardless of what you're doing in the world, I mean, you know, there are some situations where this wouldn't work, but if you can, I'm just going to ask you, take a breath and check in with yourself. Check in with yourself. What is true for you right now? How are you feeling now? And regardless of what that is, don't try not to judge it. Go, oh, no, it feels terrible. Just notice and name. So that's the technique. Notice and name. Notice and name. Breathe. Check in. Notice and name. Oh, I'm feeling stressed. Oh, I'm feeling worried. I'm angry. I'm lonely. I'm in pain. I'm excited. Not judging what it is. And that's the other part of being mindful is learning to practice being non-judgmental. And by that, I mean, I can't do this right. I've always got this wrong. I'm always in pain. It's like, you know, the I'm always is a distraction from the noticing, because then you go into a story about it. And it may be a true story, but that's not what that practice is here. What we want to do is we're not trying to take away from the truth of a circumstance. We're simply trying to name and notice it. So we're not trying to make meaning out of it. Like, oh, I'm always stressed out, and that means this. So you want to stop at the "and that means" and simply just go, oh, it's just me paying attention to myself, and I'm noticing, oh, I'm really stressed. Yeah, I am. That's a fact. It's a fact of my moment that I feel stress. Yikes. What's it like for me to feel stressed like this? Oh man, I feel jangly. I feel reactive. I can feel tension in my body. When you are saying those kinds of things, bang, now you are connecting to what is true for you in the moment. And that is the very skill that you need to find your way to deeper meaning in the world. Because if you aren't connected to that, then how can you connect to the world in a meaningful way? Because you aren't in touch with what's true for you. If you're just ignoring this and trying to act like it's not true, you're going to drive yourself to burnout, and you're going to wind up making decisions that aren't factoring in the truth of what your world is like. And the problem with mindfulness practices, and I talked about this in one of the earlier episodes, can mindfulness be harmful, is that once you start to look inside, sometimes you find stuff that isn't so pleasant. And so people just want to flee the scene. You know, it's kind of like falling down off your bike. You go, ow, that's not fun. I don't want to ride the bike. If you simply notice and name, don't judge as best you can, and accept the fact that this is so, this is the truth of your experience, then that helps you not only change your experience because you're accepting the truth of it, but make better decisions. You know what? I am going to take a week off because I am really stressed out, and that really needs to happen right now. Because if not, much worse things are going to happen than if I don't go to work. I'm going to wind up in the ER. I'm going to wind up with a divorce. I'm going to wind up, you know, some other catastrophe happening in your world. It's like, that would be a better decision in that case, because it's connected to what's really going on for you. And that's what we all want. We all want to connect to what's really going on, because that's how we create meaningful connections with people that are based on something that's more substantial than, you know, success or glory or fame or recognition. Something that's more substantial than being recognized in a specific way. We're talking about being connected to the world of your life in a way that allows you to take action that's informed by your truth. What could be better than that? You know, to be able to connect with people and your world directly, personally, experientially. And then when you bring that kind of skill, now that you started with these delicious moments, and now we're taking it to connect to what's true for you, it's the same skill, connecting to your experience. You take that same skill, and then you see someone, you meet someone, and you learn to connect to your experience of this other person. Well, you're suddenly bringing something substantial to the conversation besides just, hey, how's it going? I'm fine. How are you? Suddenly, you're a resource. You're someone who is connected to your world in a substantial way. And whenever you start to interact with people, you're going to connect to them. You'll have the opportunity to connect to them in a substantial way, because that's what your experience is. I'm someone who connects in a substantial way. I know that is a skill of mine, and it happens. And you can do it on purpose when you wish, almost any time. And we'll talk some more about specifics about that when we come back from the break for the Connected Conversation. This is Brett Hill.
Here's a quick tip from Jason and Patricia at the Ecosystem Approach Show. This is a new way to approach self-help.
See all problems, challenges, and objectives as energy issues, determine the energies that are blocking you and remove them. Instead of asking, what do I do? Ask what energies are blocking me.
Say to yourself, I direct all my resources in all dimensions to eliminate. Name the emotions that are blocking you. Some form of fear, insecurity, anxiety.
Take a breath and blow the barriers, the negative energies blocking you, into the processor behind us. Keep doing it.
If you want to hear about our show, A New Way to Approach Self-Help, go to our website, theecosystemapproach.org, and under the radio tab, search for Is Self-Help Obsolete?
Listen to all of our shows because we teach you how to apply energy techniques for everyday life in ways that are practical and useful.
See you Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific or find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Are you living through any painful family relationships? Do you feel like you are frequently stuck in the past or can't sleep at night because of painful family memories? Rose Salkova is an energy life coach, and she's here to show you firsthand that your life doesn't need to be that way. She will guide you on how to take responsibility for your own energy and help you create a meaningful life for yourself. To find out more or schedule a session with Rose, visit familyhealingwithrose.com.
You can't just fix yourself on the outside and expect the inside to follow. Whether you're 5 or 85, healthy living can begin whenever you decide you want a better life. Tune into Keeping Up with Barbara Scheidegger every month on TransformationTalkRadio.com to learn about implementing a daily routine and finding a balance to improve your life. Learn to live agelessly. Go to BarbaraScheidegger.com. That's Barbara, S-C-H-E-I-D-E-G-G-E-R.com.
Welcome back to the Connected Conversation. My name is Brett Hill. I'm a mindful somatic coach and coach trader. We were talking about connected conversations. Imagine that. And so how do you create these connections? And if you've been listening for the last, you know, previous segments of this show, I've moved through like how we wind up in this disconnected place and how the culture gets us to a place where we're kind of disconnected all the time and keeps you there. You can spend a lifetime not connected to, you know, what's really true for you and feeling kind of like, you know, to kind of be dramatic about it, almost like an empty shell sometimes. That's the risk, right? And this long, this unfulfilled longing, this unfulfilled desire to have a richer, more complete, more satisfying life. And what's the pathway to that? And then directing your attention to your senses, to where you begin to give some attention to when are your senses lighting up? And that's going to teach you things like, and I say teach you in the sense you're going to learn from this, the things that feel really good in your world, like what are the things that feel great automatically that are simple, you know, simple little touch points of awe, beauty, connection, inspiration, noticing those, adding on purpose those moments to your life. And then that's going to help you also learn to notice what doesn't feel so good. Things that you're noticing that, you know, this isn't really adding beauty to my life. This is actually taking away from my vitality. And I really kind of would like to not have that as present. And so you can make more informed choices about the things that are going to help you. Now, the other key practice of this is straight up mindfulness, like looking inside, being present with your experience, noticing and naming that experience, and then just accepting the truth of it as an experience. And without going into a lot of detail on that, like, for example, let's say that you, because you might be thinking, well, you know, some of my experience is not so good. And that is very true for a lot of us, right? Some people have very, very serious circumstances. But the practice of mindfulness is not about immersing yourself in negativity. But if you spend all your time trying to dispel that, then you wind up in our inner world where all of your work is about staying away from how bad things are inside of you. better to let's just say that I walked into a room and it was just chaos, and I can either just go, oh, this room is a mess, I don't even want to deal with this room. You close the door and you never go back in, which means this is a completely unused place that you just never go in because you don't want to deal with it. So you just ignore it. Or you accept the fact of it being messy. You go, okay, well, me ignoring it doesn't fix it. And me getting angry about it doesn't make it better. How do we make it better? You begin the work of cleaning. But you don't actually, you can't even begin that work until you acknowledge it and decide, yep, this is true, and I want it to be different, and I'm going to do something about it. Now, in your relationship to that work, you can be all spun up about it. Oh, this is unfair, and it shouldn't be happening, and it's not right. And those things may be so, but is that a really great experience? Is that the experience that you want to have? And I'm going to say here, you're at some choice about that. I'm not saying that you need to be okay with injustice at all. I am saying that you can choose whether or not that's going to run your life from a place of feeling like your moment is really trash because something unfair has happened to you. You know, there's another saying I say. It's like, if in a world with unlimited beauty and unlimited difficulty, who do you choose to be? There are many, many places where there's a lot of problems in our lives. And I can be in relationship with those problems all day long, or I can add some of these beautiful moments to my life and be in relationship to those as well, so that I have both beauty and difficulty, and they are both a part of my world. And I accept that and let that be a fact, because it is a fact. It's like, if I broke my leg, I can rail about, oh, my leg is broken and it's unfair and that's, you know, my world is trash. And those things may be true. But is that the experience that I want to have all day long? I would think not. I would think that if I'm railing about the fact that I've got someone broke my leg and I have it's really impacted me and I'm unhappy about it all day long, and something beautiful is happening right in front of me and I can't connect to that because of it, I'm missing the moments of my life that are the very moments that I wish I had. They're right in front of you. They're right in front of you. Often say they're like diamonds littered on the ground. We just don't notice them. And so I'm inviting you to connect to your experience. Take a breath. Notice, what's it like to be here? And just say, yeah, that is so. It's like this. I'm feeling happy. I'm feeling sad. I'm feeling stressed. I'm nervous. I'm anxious. Okay, what's that like? Yeah, it doesn't feel great, but that is the truth of my experience. And just let it be. Yeah, okay, so what might you do as a result of knowing this? So, well, I'm going to lean into this, taking a breath and relax. Relax. Take a moment just to notice. And accept the truth of it. It's, for many of us, it's just hard. It's just hard. Yeah, let it be so that it's hard. Because it is. And acknowledge it. And that means that you're working hard because you care. For most of us, we care about having a better world, a better life. We care about other people. And if that's true for you, if that resonates with you, let that be so also. I'm someone who cares. It's just a fact of who I am. I've always cared. I've always connected to beauty. I've always connected to the things that light you up, the ways that matter to other people. You want to be inspiring. Maybe you want to be a healer. Maybe you want to help people's circumstances so that they have an easier life. Maybe you just want that for yourself. Acknowledging the truth of it. And it's challenging. Taking a breath, graciously accepting the truth of it. And then letting yourself ground in, I would bet that you've been with that urge, that desire for most of your life. That it's something that you want to connect to help others, to be a force for good in the world for most of your life. You're someone who cares about other people, about the planet, about the things that you care about that matter to you. And let that be so. Let it be so that you are. Learning to shift your identity. I'd shift your identity to someone. Yeah, that's really true. That's fundamental about me. Fundamental about who you are. And when you learn, when you step into that, I'm someone who deeply cares passionately about other people or whatever it is that you care about. And that's what you're connected to when you meet other people and you walk out your door, you walk out of your house. Now you're really, really landing in something profoundly nourishing and connecting. And when you meet other people, that's the space you're coming from. And it doesn't matter what they think. It doesn't change the truth of who you are. This is the heart of being connected to something that's really, really substantial. And in this case, when you know that in your bones, it doesn't matter what the culture tells you. It doesn't matter what other people tell you because you know the truth of who you are. And it's not a picture, like I talked about in the other segment. It's not the picture. It's you landing in the real majesty of it, the real truth of the core of your being. And that's, my friends, is how you have a connected conversation. So this is Brett Hill saying thank you for listening and hope you'll tune in next time. Like us on iTunes, leave a comment. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Well, actually, not 2 weeks in this case, but the first week of next month, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you for joining us today on The Connected Conversation with Brett Hill on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in next time to experience the power of mindful communication to bring deeper meaning to your life, work, and the world. Brett is here to help you step into a life that works for you, to help you flourish and give voice to your natural creativity and purpose. See you here next time on The Connected Conversation to learn how to enjoy the experience of your moment-to-moment life. For more information, visit theconnectedconversation.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.